you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you have one and want to Ecclesiastes and chapter 3. And in the light of God's presence, in the light of God's presence and His grace, we are reminded, to be reminded, that all of us were created in God's wonderful grace to know and honor Him. We are the result of God's creation. Even our declaration tells us that. And being that, so none of us on planet Earth left bankrupt and lost and have no hope. God would not have put us here. He would not have let you be born unless He had a plan to save you. God went to the cross to pay the price for the sin of the world. And therefore you and I can have physical birth safely, because there's a solution. God has made a way to know and honor Him. Now, having said that, here we are remembering Sue. You all have, in varying different ways, your memories, your recollections, and your relationships. You all have them. They're yours. They're your personal little treasures about people, in this case, about Sue. So we can't add to that. And that isn't what we need to add to anyway. And secondly, remember that her homegoing, as we shared earlier, we're still here. We're still on planet Earth and going through the daily routine of in a global setting, as it were. So we need to remember, and let us remember, here and now, in the light of the there and then. We're going to end up, hopefully, not that part. We're going to end up with the Lord, and hopefully He'd come. But that's where we're going, so we're still here. So therefore, as we shared earlier, we need to know and understand why, and roll up our sleeves so we're paying attention. Hang on. Now, Sue was very active. She was a believing believer, and she joyously, most of the time, enjoyed doing all the services and keeping and doing everything that was needful. And she did that. It was a delight. She was there when you needed her to do whatever. And she did it to the best of her ability. That's what she did. She was a blessing and a benefit to this assembly all these years. She has been that. She was a good example for us to take heed to and pay attention. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you will, so God's where we are, and we want to benefit in the light of that. So Sue's physical body, like our physical body, goes along and in the process of time, but sometime physical body has all kinds of failure and fault and needs repair. And sometimes the repair is hard to fix and not easy. Now, you remember that your physical body, your brain, your blood, your bones, etc. Now, keep in mind, an easy way to remember. You're in the automobile. The automobile is not doing very well. It's old, and you're going down the highway, and it has its problems. and has its difficulties. But you inside of it don't have them. The car has it. You live inside this body. You want this body. You live inside this body. Like the car. And when the car has problems, and it can, when it has problems like that, it isn't you, the driver. It's the car. And Sue, God allowed Sue's body to have these problems. Now, God did that. It's God's wonderful will to outwork his will. And you say, well, why? What advantage is there in all of that little time comparatively that she was put down and incapacitated? That's there. Yes, it is. Now, God, why would you do that? She didn't seem to be able to be helpful in very many ways at all anymore, in recognition, etc. But, God, you have all the pieces. And there's all us people around her, like Fred, God. Sometime God goes, lots of times God goes, and takes in your life all the things around your life. And God takes all the things around your life to help reach you, to give you an understanding heart. And God does that. And the person doesn't know it, but God has chosen that path to do that. And it is God's awesome, wonderful right and delight to do it. And the person in the body has no problem. The car may have to scrap the car, but not the person in the car. Not the person in the car. God reminds us, don't worry, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Don't get all caught up in the physical. You'll lose it if you do. Now, hang on. Now, in the light of that, an exercise in some basic things that we need to be mindful of. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you recall, Ecclesiastes is helping us understand what is it like on earth if you look at every aspect of human life, human existence. What are we to find? And if we look at all of life in every way, shape and form, and we leave God out, we have no answers. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, etc., etc., etc. God, all of that. There's a time for everything. Everything there's a time for. But also there's the time that's the opposite. So in the one hand you have it, in the next hand you don't. Now God, why? Chapter 3, sliding along to verse 11. God hath made everything beautiful. The word beautiful, useful, profitable. God has made everything beautiful in his time. Everything has a purpose. Also, he has set the world, eternity in your heart. All of us have it. We're not like a kangaroo. We're not like an elephant. We have an awesome sense of eternity. We have a sense of accountability. In some sense, we know this isn't it. We know we're more than just here. We know why we're here, but we don't understand it as we ought. Therefore, verse 11 again, he hath made everything beautiful, useful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart. Why? So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You can't find out. If we leave God out of the picture, on the one hand, a nation rises up and a nation falls down. A good man dies and a bad man lives. We're trying to figure out, but we can't. If we leave God out of the picture, we have no answers. Chapter 7. And in chapter 7, picking up, if I may, in verse 14. Of verse 13, consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he, God, hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, God also has set the one over against the other. What for? To the end that man should find nothing after him. We don't have any answers. We don't have the pieces. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, sliding over, if I may, to verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. We always have the calendar and the clock to answer to. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Why? Verse 7. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when he shall be? Verse 8. There is no man that hath power, the word power, rule, over the spirit, to retain the spirit. I'm going to live another 10 days, another 10 years, another 10 minutes. You don't have any power. God has appointed time for your birth and a time for your death. And you don't play with it. You can do what you want with it, but you can't touch it. No matter what, you can eat your Cheerios and exercise 5 times a day. You can't change. God is in charge of your birth. God is in charge of your death. And therefore, we have no control over governing that. Let me just keep the verse. Verse 8. There is no man that hath power, rule over his spirit, to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of end of death. And there is no discharge in that war. There's no way to get out of this. There's no R&R, no relief, no recreation. We're living day in and day out. We can't prolong our life. We can't tell the day of our death. God does. And we don't have any way to change that, no matter what we do, by hook or by crook. You can't change it. You just can't change it. We're stuck, God. Therefore, why? I need to get to God for the answers. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, Isaiah chapter 55. Something else we need to remember and remind ourselves about God. God's wonderful person. And in Isaiah 55, picking up, please, in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, God, what do we need to know? Verse 8, for my thoughts, said God, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You don't think like us, you don't act like us at all. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the heaven, earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. The rain and the snow, it must accomplish what God allows it to be. Verse 11. Now that's true for the weather. That's true for our general up, keeping us alive on planet Earth. Now God, yeah, we can count on the rain. It doesn't come down and go back up. And the snow doesn't fall halfway, pile up about 1,000 feet and then disappear. It comes down and to ground, let to ground level. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God honors his word. He means what he says and says what he means. God's going to keep his word. His thoughts and his ways are higher than the heavens. So you can try to rationale, read 10,000 books, do whatever you want. And when you're all done, in every way, shape, or form, you're stuck because you can't compete with God's heart and mind. He's higher than the heavens. And no matter how you cut the cookie, it's awful difficult. And we wear ourselves out. We don't need to do that. God needs to be honored as God. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. Now, having said that, he's going to accomplish all of his good. So our relationship to God, God meant us to have that unique relationship to God. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, John 1:12, he gives and makes possible a unique relationship to him, a child of God, believing, resting, and God does the saving. God saves us, like we shared in the beginning. God saves us. That's why we're created. God didn't create us to be here on planet Earth in just nothingness. God created us so that he would be able to save us and give us a unique, awesome, wonderful relationship to who he is. And to be able to have that relationship because of time, to be able to go into eternity, timelessness, to enjoy him forever. We are made, remember we read in Ecclesiastes, eternity is in our heart. We know we aren't an ant, and we crush the ant and it's all over. No, we leave the body and we answer to God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here's our Lord. And over, if you would, over to John, the Gospel of John, if I can, in chapter 5. John in chapter 5. And our Lord makes it very clear in 1,000 different ways. And here is one simple thing to understand. John chapter 5, verse 24. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, verse 24. Verily, verily, amen, amen. I say unto you, that he that heareth my word, which is what we're seeking to do, we could talk to each other, it won't do any good. We have nice talk, conversation. It's wonderful. It won't do what God's word does. God is God. His ways and his thoughts a higher God. I need to know. I need to understand what you want me to understand so that I can withstand and go forward in a safe and happy way. So therefore, God, very, very, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Secondly, shall not come into condemnation or judgment. Christ died on the cross. He bore our sin, your sin, my sin, in his own body on the tree. But is passed, thirdly, but is passed from death unto life. The moment you believe, you receive the Lord as your Savior, you receive eternal life. What is eternal life? John 17:3. Eternal life is an understanding of having a personal, saving, safe relationship to Almighty God. God never dies. God was never created. God, everything, all of creation, all of the 2 trillion or more galaxies, not stars, are in the middle. And God is here. And everything is in the middle of God. Now, God, here we are looking, and you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. So you want to save us, to have a relationship. That's what Sue believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She was a believing believer. She was enjoying the trip, as it were. Now, picking up if I can, in the light of that, over to John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, you remember our Lord talking to Martha, and Lazarus had passed on, had died. He had died, and they wished that he had crossed the Jordan quicker and got there, and he could have healed Lazarus. But the Lord made sure he didn't cross. The Lord made sure he, in fact, you know all that from the context, chapter 11. God knew he would die. And God stayed on the other side of the Jordan another couple of days to make sure he died so that they'd all know it. Why did you do that, God? Chapter 11, picking up, if I can, here's Martha inquiring. Verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Because she's trying to say, well, God, comfort him. He wouldn't have died if you were here, God. But I know he'll rise up someday. Now, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, 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 never die. Do you believe that? That's what he asked Martha. Do you believe that? You're looking at Lazarus out there. Do you believe? He's standing right in front of her. Do you believe that I loved Lazarus. Lazarus isn't the issue. Do you understand that if you believe, I am who I am. I am the great I am. If you understand that I am that I am, do you understand all that I am? I give you, I am life. I am the relationship you need to have, Martha. And if you have the relationship to me, he said, you'll never die. You'll never die. You can't die. Why? Because when you receive me as your Savior, which you would do, when you receive me as your Savior, I have found your heart for my home. I have made you part of my wonderful, wonderful grace. I have made you part of my body. I've made you part to be a saved, believing believer to enjoy all that I am. Now, so then you know the little verse in verse 35 and that. They had a problem with that, and they didn't believe. And Jesus wept. One of the couple of three times he wept. Why did he weep? They didn't need to be sitting there sobbing because they lost their brother. They didn't need to be so sorrowful and sad. Nothing. Lazarus was quite safe in the hands of Almighty God. Quite safe. Now, having said that, believing, and they need to believe on the Lord, a way to put this together simply, over to 2 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And picking up, if I may, in verse 5, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're delivering God's message. That's what they were doing. For what is the good news? For, verse 6, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts. How so? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he saves us and brings us into a wonderful way, in a wonderful place to honor and understand God. God in Christ died on the cross. He took on a human form. He identified with our humanity. We're made in his image and likeness. God died. And how can I touch God? Smell, touch, I can't. God is infinite, I can't. But God in Christ, I could see, touch, hear him, see him. That's what he did. So why? That you could know. Because God made him like us so that us could be enjoy who he is in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels of clay and dust. That's why they're frail and faulty. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that purpose, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The whole business of being alive and having a wonderful relationship to God belongs to God, Ecclesiastes. There's no way to answer any of it, God. And you are the answer to the whole ball game. You are the answer in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and how so? Because as we journey through time, sliding over to verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man, physical body, that's what we mentioned about Sue and all of us, for our physical body is perishing. But on the inside, we live on the inside, and the inside, the inner man, is renewed day by day by day. So on the outside, but if the outside gets bound, I can't communicate, I can't do anything. That doesn't mean my inside, but my outside. So I don't have the vehicle, the body, to express my humanity. I need my body functional to express my humanity. If it isn't functional, I can't express it. Now God, so what are you saying? You're looking, we're looking. God helping us. God, you have saved us and gave us a wonderful relationship to thee. Lazarus, Martha, Mary, you don't need to weep. Lazarus, the problem isn't Lazarus' body. Lazarus is fine. His body's all wrapped up over there. It isn't the body. It's the relationship to God sliding down. Verse 17, for our light affliction. Light, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And everything we can see is going to disappear, even the pyramids. They're all going to, everything goes down. Once this building, we build and do whatever, and it's all going to disappear, ultimately, down the corridor of time. But in the process, that which we can't see, you can't see me, you can see my body. I can't see you, but I can see your body. All the things that we can't see, the sound, pictures, tons and tons and tons of information are in the room right now. And you need the equipment, and you could hear it and see it. But without the equipment, we can't see or hear it. That's right. You can't do. God said the things that really count, we can't see God. We can't see the spirit world, but it's there. And we need to understand we belong to it, and God meant us to be, to know, and to know him and honor him. Now, having said that, and sliding over to chapter 5, verse 5, verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home, in the body, Sue, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, verse 8, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. There's no way that we'd want to take away, Sue, if you could just recover and be with us. No, God, when God's ready, boy, God bless you, go. We may miss you, we may have things different, but God, we don't want to take away one person from a person's when you want us. God, thank you for taking us in your time, in your way, the way you do it. Thank you. Now, and having said that, I'm putting that together. First Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and here we are. So 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. What were the Thessalonians doing? They were wonderfully, wonderfully bearing testimony in Asia, in Greece, in northern Greece, to all of God's wonderful grace to the Grecians. And in the process, they were under great persecution and etc. But chapter 1, verse 9, for they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And now what were they doing? Verse 10, to wait for his Son out from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were waiting for God's return to take them. That's what they were doing. They were there. They were waiting for God's return. What are we doing? We're waiting for God's return. And we try to have everybody stay alive, and we'll all go together. But, keep reading so you see it. If I can, in Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And some had died and missed. They didn't want anyone to miss the opportunity. They're waiting for God to take them. But people die. And they're still there. Sue died, and we're still here. Chapter 4, picking up, please, if I can. Verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that died, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. We're not like that. No, no, we miss them. There's no question. But boy, we aren't. God, thank you. Thank you that there is such a wonderful hope. Verse 4, 11, 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, that's us, unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. In other words, Sue's there with Peter, James, Paul, and the rest of them. But we're still here. But God said, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll all get a new body, resurrected body, at the same time we do. So no one's going to have the advantage. Then we also, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up with the force, raptured, taken up, caught up in together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Comfort, be encouraged, be encouraged. We're still here, but Sue doesn't have an advantage. She's there, no question. And Peter, Paul, and James, they're all there. But when God's going to give us that wonderful new body, we're all going to get it at the same time. So they don't have an advantage in that sense. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the light of all that chapter 5, verse 1, but of the thing, the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. God, we know. Here we're still here, and the wrath is coming, but you're going to save us from that. Chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us, the believing heart, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we're dead, we should live together with him. God is going to put this all together in his good time, in his good way, as only he can do. That's what he's doing. So we're waiting. We're waiting, but what are we doing? We're reminding ourselves God is going to save us from all that's ahead. The wrath of God, grace of God, rejected, the wrath of God taking place. All of that's going to be. Our global situation is there. Everything is there. Now, and illustrating that, if I may, here's human history. And human history has proceeded down the road. Here's human history coming down. Turn the history. Calendar, the clock, you can't stop it. And all of history, nations rise, fall. Nations, Germany, China, Venezuela, all of us, America, Israel, all of them are there. They're all happening. And it's moving. History is moving. We're moving. We're on planet Earth, spinning around the sun, spinning 1,000 miles an hour. And we're spinning. And what's God doing? All of this is happening. What we said here, all of things are taking place with nations and all kinds, wars and all kinds of things are happening right now in the planning stage and in the active stage. Now, that's that. And this is where we are, make believe. Now, here we are, here you are, here's Sue. But Sue finished. These are Sue, Monday, Tuesday, year 75. We're done. This is still going. We're here. And our pages, this page is where we are right this second. And tomorrow, there it is. Can you stop it? No. You need to look to God. Because the pages must be finished. Do you understand? That's where we are. It's a wonderful thing. God has to work it all out. But in the meantime, we're to be little lights in the darkness and try to bear witness to God's saving grace. Sue is gone, but we're here. Our job isn't finished. Our time isn't finished. It's our time, our turn, until God takes us. Our Father in God, we thank you. Thank you very much that we could just stop for a few minutes and think and try to understand what on earth, why are we here? Where are we headed? Why are we going? God, how's it going to come out? God, help us. And our Father, that each one would truly know you as their Lord and Savior, God, to receive you. You're there. We're in your presence. And you want to be an awesome Savior, a wonderful God, our Heavenly Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, very, very much. Thank you. Thank you that we had Sue. But more than that, God, it's you that make it all work and the pieces all come together. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again and being seated in your perfect humanity, that we would have such a safe, solid, secure relationship to you, God, so that we never, never die. We have eternal life. To say it a different way, God, we have your Son. He that hath a Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.